All right, good morning, Sibley County. It's Sergeant Bingham with the Sheriff's Office. It's May 8th, 2020. We're here for this Sibley COVID video update for Friday. Today with us, we got Jana Lee from Public Health, Emily Ray from the Rural Healthcare District, Carolyn Normington, the Pinedale Middle School Counselor for our mental health that we weren't able to do Wednesday, and Dr. Fitzsimmons, our County Health Officer. So from that, we're going to go ahead and turn it over to Jana Lee first with numbers.
This is Jana Lee from Public Health. I'll give you our general situation report today. There are 483 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the state of Wyoming across 21 counties. The death toll remains at 7, and Wyoming is reporting 428 patients recovered. In Sublet County, we had one confirmed case and two probable cases, and I'm glad to say all three of those patients have recovered. Currently, I have zero people on my quarantine list. Then I'm going to go to Emily Ray for her numbers, and I'll jump back on later with Dr. Fitz.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon. As of today, there have been 48 tests completed from the public health lab and 69 from private labs. The clinics are currently monitoring three individuals, and they are in self-isolation, and with that, we have three tests pending. The only other update is now that elective surgeries are starting up again, your surgeon will require you to be tested for COVID-19 prior to the surgery. The Pinedale Clinic will be conducting these pre-surgery tests on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Anyone coming for testing will be required to have pre-surgery or what they call a pre-procedure order from their doctor or surgeon, and they will also need an appointment for the test itself so they can call and schedule at the front desk. The test will be conducted from the inside of your vehicle, so once you set up your appointment, our front desk staff will give you all the information that you need to go about the testing. Just a reminder, we're open for the regular non-COVID related visits and have telehealth and Zoom capabilities, so don't delay talking to your provider. If you do end up coming to the clinic, be sure to bring only one family member, and we do ask that you wear your face covering. If you didn't bring one or forgot yours, we are happy to provide one for you. But other than that, that's it for me at the clinic here.
Thanks, Emily. From there, we'll go ahead and let Carolyn step in and have her mental health minute for the week and turn it over to you.
Thank you. I'm Carolyn Normington. Like Travis said, I am the counselor at Pinedale Middle School. I'm going to really stay in my middle school lane here and let folks know who have middle school students that I am still seeing students either through Zoom meetings or through a telephone call. And the big thing that we're working on and that we're rolling out on Monday is scheduling. It is that time to schedule classes for next school year, which hopefully will be in the building. So families will be receiving a Blackboard message that includes a letter from me that walks students through the process of getting into their laptops, getting into their Pinedale portal, clicking on the Power School tile, and then getting into class registration, and all incoming 6th, 7th, and 8th graders will be able to pick one elective class for the next school year, and then I will be working the magic to get the entire schedule put together. I'm always happy to answer questions about scheduling or other issues, and right now the best way to get a hold of me is through email, cnormington@sub1.org. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Carolyn. From there, I guess I'll turn it back to Jana with the business toolkit information for the businesses. You're on mute, Jana.
Okay. Would you mind pulling up that PowerPoint a minute, Travis? I just wanted to highlight that at Public Health, we've been working with Dr. Fitzsimmons on developing a toolkit for businesses as some of our other businesses open up. We just wanted to kind of create a little bit of a toolkit that would just be kind of a one-stop shop to help people make their safety plan and have some resources in a one place, and that place is going to be located on the subletyocovid.com website under the business tab. And Kat set it up so that there will be links that things that you can print off. So if you want to just click through, we'll just click it real quick. It has a lot of, keep going, Travis, CDC guidelines and some tips, keep going. And then just information on best practice on as businesses make their safety plans. Keep going, Travis. And just a lot of CDC information, keep going. And cleaning information, you can keep, yep, there's a lot of different information there. And OSHA, all the OSHA guidance, some stuff that we've gone through there. Keep going. I did want to highlight this screen. This will be a printable thing that's linked to the website also, but it is the Wyoming Department of Health has this screening guide for individual businesses to use with their employees. And it really gives you all the questions to ask every day of yourself and of your employees to make sure that our workplaces stay healthy and safe. But that will be a printable document. Keep going. And then I did want to land on this page with Dr. Fitzsimmons. These are kind of some of the questions that he had put out to the beauty salons and stuff as they were opening to discuss ways to help them create their individual safety plans. And so I was hoping maybe Dr. Fitzsimmons could just visit a little bit about some of the things that he visited with those individual businesses as they were looking at best practice.
Jana, basically, if you read some of these, we're kind of want you to think about your business and how you come into contact with other people and how many people you come into contact, how close do you get to them? Is that contact indoors or outdoors? And to have you think about the types of people that you come into contact with. As we start opening things up, we still kind of want to pay some attention to being protective of certain portions of our population, in particular the elderly and people with underlying chronic medical conditions. So I think for businesses, if they can identify how much exposure they are putting those people into, that can help them have an idea of how much they should work to try to mitigate risks in general. The risk mitigation strategies a business come up with will, you know, be both for their clients and for themselves. I think one of the things that you have to deal with is you really kind of can't control the behavior of your clients. And I think most businesses don't want to be very pushy in that regards because, you know, the client's always right and everything. But so you want to think about that it's a little bit different how you mitigate the risk that the clients are putting you into versus you putting the clients in an area where you have a lot more control over behavior. It's important to think about, you know, what kind of tools you're going to bring to that task there. And we do with that document that Janice comes out, there is some talk about, you know, disinfecting agents and things like that and protocols that can help you do that. We are really trying to get people to monitor employees for signs and symptoms of possible COVID-19 infection. This gives us as public health an added tool for knowing what is happening here. A lot of people are very concerned about this coming back either as we open up or in some later wave at the end of the summer or within the fall. And if you're doing that as a business, that's going to just extend our capabilities. So anything that we can do to help you kind of continue to monitor people, we will appreciate it. And I think it your employees will appreciate it, et cetera. So that kind of covers that. It's really not rocket science, and it's a nice little page there that kind of gets your head wrapping around most of the important issues of this.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Fitz. Yeah, I think that, you know, trying to help create a little bit of a space where people could go easily to print off some of these signs and some of the tools that they might need to be to make their own business plan. So, okay, go ahead, Travis. I think the rest of it you can kind of just click through, but there's just, it does tell all the links that are going to be on the website and keep going. And then just kind of some of the CDC and Wyoming Department of Health information. So I will be talking with the business groups and helping them put that word out. But for sure, we appreciate everything that our community and our business owners and all of us can do to help protect our community and to make our businesses safe. Okay, now I'm going to let Dr. Fitz take.
Okay, well, thanks, Jana. As everybody knows, we've been working on reopening the economy here, and that's really been the focus of our attention for the last week or so. We had developed a variance panel with a couple of the county commissioners, Sheriff Lear, county attorneys, and myself, and we had discussed ways to go about that. And we did end up developing some variance requests that we sent up to the state. And we've had some response from them. I'd start out with the exception that we sent in for the bowling alley in Marbleton. That was approved yesterday. So the bowling alley in Marbleton is going to be able to resume operations with some restrictions. We're going to basically be using half the lanes, and we'll be asking more from patrons, and the staff there is going to be pretty diligent in their cleaning operations, etc. If you do want to go bowling down in Marbleton, I would ask that you call them first, because one of the things that's going to be part of this is that there'll be set reservation times. So it won't be like before where you can just walk in. Those days will come again, but for right now, we're going to ask you to call in. We developed the variance for churches to resume operation with more than 10 people in a room, and that went sailing through pretty smoothly. There was some back and forth between myself and some church members, and I think we got what we wanted, as something that's a reasonable intermediate step between where we were last week and where we're going to be once things are back to normal. That also had something in it that is kind of like a reservation. You might want to talk to your pastor about that, because we're going to try to avoid just having an untold number of people come back to church. Who knows? Maybe this has made a lot of people religious or something. We may have a boom in church attendance. But we're going to try to regulate that a little bit. So please kind of get in touch with your church before you come back. But I haven't received those variance requests back yet from the state health officer, but I just talked to her, and she said that will go through. The variance on the restaurants was more complicated, and there's been a lot of give and take and back and forth on that. We had a lot of compromises that we made on that. We started out with a request for a variance on the operations of restaurants. I did have a couple of conversations with the state health officer over the last day or two about that. And in conformance with some of her wishes, some of her thoughts, and to a great extent, a lot of what is happening in some of the other counties in Wyoming, along with conversations that we had with county health officers in other counties, those things have changed a little bit, but she is going to approve that. So as it stands right now, we are going to allow restaurants, and we are also going to allow bars to reopen tomorrow. There will be restrictions on this. There will not be allowed to have as many people in at a time. We're going to ask for reservations so that we can control how many people come in. You might be able to kind of stand out in the parking lot and call in and say, can I come in? And they tell you to come in, but you need to call before you hit the door. And there'll be some other restrictions, but we expect those to open tomorrow. For the details of those, We'll have stuff all over the place on our website. The Chamber of Commerce should be able to tell you something about it, and the individual restaurants and bars should also be able to do that. So a lot of progress has been made there. And I want to, you know, last time we did this, I had a shout out to the nursing home. So I want to give a shout out today to Dr. Harris down in Cheyenne, the state health officer. She's just been great at pulling all these loose ends together and handle a lot of stuff. The other one there, I think we really kind of, I feel that Mark Gordon has just done a terrific job as governor through this. And we're grateful for all the support and guidance that we've gotten from Cheyenne, as well as at Public Health. We've gotten a lot of guidance from the CDC, and we want to acknowledge that once in a while. I guess the last thing I want to say about this is when I come out and say that the restaurants and the bars are going to be open, I think a lot of people are going to feel like, oh, my God, I'm glad it's over. But it's not really over. We don't know where this is going. We may be on a downslope. We may be on a downslope before we get another hill to climb. We have concerns about this resurging a little bit as we relax our restrictions. We have concerns about this coming back again in a second wave late in the summer and in the fall. So we're going to ask you to maintain your diligence and not to go past these restrictions that we have. The last couple of days, the death count, the daily death count in the United States had been increasing, actually. And we still have quite a significant little outbreak over in Fremont County that is not really slowing down. So please don't think that this means it's all over, the nightmare's over, and we can just go back to doing anything we want. As corollary to that, we're pushing the ideas of masks. I know a lot of people don't like the idea of masks, but masks are a powerful tool, and they're pretty easy to use. They may kind of make you may feel silly with a mask on. Who knows? You may look silly with a mask on. But they're not really a lot to ask, and we would really ask you to consider the use of the mask when you're in crowded public places such as a grocery store or Baumgars or things like that. But it's Friday. It's a beautiful day, and things, I think, are looking up.
Travis, can I do one more shout-out?
Sure, let's do them.
It's Nurses Week, so thanks so much to all our nurses in the community, at the clinic, at the Sublet Center, Home Health, Public Health. We have great nurses here, and we just want to say Happy Nurses Week to all our nurses.
I'm gonna say Roger place. That, Jana.
Thanks, Dr. Fitzsimmons, for that update. I think opening up some stuff will help a lot of people out, and I think that's what people have been looking forward to, but that doesn't
Hey, Travis.
Yeah.
Travis, I just want to back up and make sure that I've kind of said that a couple times, that it goes into effect tomorrow and not today.
Right. Yep. I was going to reemphasize that too. We may get the signed approvals today, but it doesn't go into effect till tomorrow, which will be Saturday the 9th. So,
yeah.
Yep. So with that said, I have a couple things. I'm just going to remind everybody again, especially with the variance changes, we're encouraging everybody to visit the Sublet WY COVID website for that business tab, and that'll have all that slideshow information that Jana just went through. And as well as these businesses change their operations, we're encouraging them to email me at tbingham@subso.com, and I'll be updating our dashboard business status tab so everybody's aware of what the businesses are doing. So if you're a business, please let me know what your changes are. Number two, Pinedale Fine Arts Council is doing an art walk again today, so there's a bunch of information out on our pages about that. So if you're out and about, support that, but do it in a safe manner and keep your distance, and it'll be a good thing. As well, it's Friday again, so they're doing another cruising event, and that has become such a popular thing in the last few weeks, and so we encourage everybody to do that, but again, remain safe with that. And they're doing great work helping benefit the businesses that are open and that situation. So kudos to Paige and Alicia for putting that together. Kat wanted me to let everybody know that as far as the sit rep, as things are slowing down a little bit, they're going to transition to where the sit rep only comes out Monday through Friday. So after today, you won't see one this weekend until Monday. So that's just a change internally in the COVID group. Yesterday, Governor Gordon, many of you probably listened, had another address. He's talking about easing some of these restrictions on businesses and moving to the next phase of reopening, and these variances and all these things are just part of that. He also mentioned that the self-quarantine for 14 days from people out of state coming in expires today. And so the game fish will be opening the daily and 5-day out-of-state fishing licenses, et cetera. So that directive is no longer after today. And then he also appointed a special legislative session to be held on the 15th virtually for the state to start working on that CARES Act money and appropriate the funds to work and deal with the COVID impact for businesses, and give them some flexibility in their budgets and help working with the businesses that have been impacted the most. So that's all the updates I have. Is there anything else I missed you guys wanted to add?
Can't think of it.
Okay. So again, we'll go ahead and close, but I just want to apologize. And technology is great when it works, and when it doesn't, it's kind of got us a couple times this week. And yet again, we couldn't go live, so we recorded. So thanks for your patience with that. And thanks for everybody for being on.
Thanks, Travis.
Thank you, Travis.